I wish I could find a man.
Hello, woman. Oh. I am a man. I'm good, and I'm unwed.
You should marry me and ask me to marry you and
Married.
Give me a bright ring. What's your name?
I'm Victor, and I ride a julem.
Victor!
Do you like my julem?
I like it, Victor. Hey, you should propose. We should get married, Victor.
Married? Let me give it a thought. All right, I've thought it through, and I'm ready to be wed. Here we go.
Perfect, Victor.
Well, yes.
No! Victor!
You guys are married!
This is fun, Victor. We're married, Victor. This is called the backwards banana.
Take it easy.
Ooh.
That's outlandish.
Victor! Where's my pony?
What time?
I want to welcome everybody joining in on this talk today. So glad that you're with us. All of our churches in San Diego, everybody in Imperial Beach, Mission Valley, all of you here in Chula Vista, welcome. Also want to give a special shout out to all of our friends south of the border down there at East Lake Tijuana. Welcome. Glad you're with us. And everybody who's watching online, wherever you are, thanks for jumping in the series. Happily even after. I think we're all familiar with the storybook fairy tales that many of them have been turned into movies that we grew up with, where the idea was two people found one another, they beat all the odds, they overcame the adversity, whether that adversity was a wicked witch or a wicked stepmother or whatever it was, and then it all just worked out in the end, which really the end is the beginning, because those stories always seem to end with, okay, now they're together, and maybe it ends with them getting married, and that's the end, and the story always says, and they lived happily ever after. Happily ever after. But I think most stories and movies and even modern day music focuses on the beginning of a relationship. And if you've been in relationships before, you know the beginning is the easy part. I mean, that's the easy part. Falling in love is the easy part. I mean, it's exciting. It's passionate. That's easy. That doesn't take a lot of work. And then we get married, right? And everything changes. Now, sure, there's the honeymoon phase where it's still passionate and fairly easy and all those things. But then it changes. And why does it change? Here's why. Because it's called life. And all of a sudden, there's schedules, and there's responsibilities, and there's bills, and there's deployment. And then you add a kid, or two, or three, and any more than that, and you're crazy. And then there's their schedules, and then there's their things. And all of a sudden, we can look at our relationship, and we can begin to become discouraged and think something's wrong with it. And even want to, or maybe have in the past, bailed way too easy and way too soon because we thought we were promised happily ever after. And we thought happily ever after came pretty easily, because I think in our culture it makes it seem like, oh, that's just now the easy part. The hard part was falling in love, where we all know the exact opposite is true. And that's why for the next 5 weeks, we're going to separate truth from fiction and focus on the principles that can help us have a happy, even after kind of marriage. Everybody grab that outline out of your program at all of our churches. And I want us to look at this first verse here. And I want us to look at what I think this verse reveals are the two highest goals, or should be, for every marriage relationship. That we would both grow in and maintain these two things. Look at this first verse. It's found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. We're going to look at it a couple times today. It says this. It is a wife talking about her husband, and she says, he is my lover and my friend. If you're married or you want to be, don't you think that's a great goal? And a great picture of what a healthy marriage relationship should be, both lover and friend. And so today we're going to talk about how to build fun, friendship, and passion into your marriage. Because I think if you're married or you're planning on or you want to be, that you want all those things in your relationship, right? Fun, friendship, and passion. And so what do we do? How do we get there? Well, there's three important aspects that every healthy marriage needs. Here they are. Write them down. The first one, we need time hand in hand. We need to spend time hand in hand. Think about it like this, simply hanging out with a friend. It's finding things to do together. It's enjoying an activity that both of you like or that one of you is learning to like. Why? Because you just want to be together. Hand in hand time is doing things together. And it is so important because here's why it's so important. Write this down. It builds relational intimacy. And guys, don't let that word intimacy scare you. It simply means closeness. And so you need time hand in hand, just doing stuff of life together because it builds relational closeness. This coming May, my wife and I will celebrate our 18th wedding anniversary. That's crazy because we were married when we were like 11, okay? I can't believe it. I'm like, holy cow, are you serious? 18 years. And up to this point, I would say our relationship story can be broken into two parts, BC and AC, before children and after children. Because we were married for eight wonderful, amazing, do whatever we wanted to do when we wanted to do it years. And then these beautiful bundles of joy from heaven came and they blew all that up, right? I mean, that's what happened after kids. I mean, it was just like, wow, everything that we knew about each other and our lives and our schedule changed. Now, part of that was all our fault because three of those little suckers came out in 4 years, okay? So it was like, woo, you know, I mean, like something exploded in our home. It's called kids. And hand in hand, relational intimacy, BC, before children, I'll be honest with you, it was pretty easy. We worked out together multiple days a week. We went on walks when we wanted to. We ocean kayaked together regularly. Now, let me just tell you, that wasn't my wife's thing. That was kind of my thing and my hobby. But she was willing to enter into my world and do something that I really enjoyed that she probably just wouldn't do if it wasn't for her being willing to say, okay, I'm going to enter into something that you enjoy just so we can spend time together. And I look back at that season in our life where we would, you know, it was the car, it was loading up the kayak and it was driving to the bay or to the ocean and then just the two of us out on the water. And so many fun and funny memories happened just from being together. And then AC, after children, I'll tell you, hand-in-hand time has become quite challenging. Do I look like I still work out? Okay? Obviously, we're not doing that so much anymore. I still have the kayak, although it's been dry, hanging in the rafters of the garage for quite some time. It hasn't seen the water. But hand-in-hand time can still be done. How? Through doing the simple things of everyday life together. This is something we can all do no matter what phase or age or season you're in of a marriage. Now, there are things that I do to enter my wife's world. One of those is we reached a milestone this school year. Our youngest is in all day school. All three kids for the first time since having those little suckers. All three of them are gone and away when school is in session all day. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? It's like, woo, you parents, especially you moms, stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads, like that is a huge milestone. We're like, we've not had this in 8 years. This is amazing. And so there's some things that I do when it's my day off to kind of enter into my wife's world like she did in that previous stage going kayaking. And one of those things is if I'm off and the kids are in school, she goes grocery shopping. Now, do I enjoy grocery shopping? Only if it's at Costco on free sample day. Yes, I enjoy that. I don't really enjoy grocery shopping, and I don't know that she does either, but she's good at it. But I'll go, hey, I'll go with you. And it's just the idea of doing the simple everyday things in life together. Author Shanti Feldhahn, everybody look on the back of your outline at all the churches. There's a plethora of resources right there. two of those books her and her husband wrote together, and she surveyed 1,000 couples, and let me show you what she discovered. It'll be up here on the screen. She said this: 90% of the happiest couples say that spending time together is the biggest reason for their happiness. Doing things like home projects, taking evening walks, going to the kids' sports, watching TV, or even grocery shopping together. In other words, she is saying, and what happy couples say is, it has nothing to do with the activity. It's just the fact that you're doing whatever that activity is together. Everybody look at Ecclesiastes 9, this next verse. It says, enjoy life with the woman you love. Cherish every moment of the fleeting life which God has given you under the sun. In other words, that verse, that's actually written by the guy who the first verse, the wife, this is the husband who wrote this, Solomon. And what he's saying is just enjoy your everyday life with the woman you love. Like, a huge part of marriage is just the routine of life, right? And it's just enjoy that. And hand-in-hand time, building relational intimacy is so important, because every relationship has to shift from all we want to do is make out, right? Because everybody was there at one time. It has to change from that to how do we build a life together? I mean, every relationship needs to move from just physical passion to deep friendship. And if you don't understand this, or you don't build relational intimacy in your marriage, you will be in danger of making an awful mistake of giving up on your marriage too soon or too easily because you thought all the sizzle and passion was gone. It might have cooled. And if you've been married for any length of time, you know that there are ebbs and flows and seasons that have reasons for why passion is easier and more difficult at different times in your marriage. But here's the thing, if you will build your relationship, if I will build my relationship, my marriage, on a foundation of relational intimacy, friendship, passion can be rekindled and fired again no matter what age, phase, or season we find ourselves in. So every relationship needs hand-in-hand time. And then write this down, every marriage also needs heart-to-heart. Think of this as communication. This is talking. When people want to have a significant conversation, one of the phrases we use at a culture is, hey, can we sit down and have a heart-to-heart? In other words, it's someone saying, can we talk openly and honestly? Can we have a meaningful conversation? Regular communication is so important in a relationship. Here's why. Write it down. Because it builds intellectual intimacy. It builds intellectual intimacy. Guys, we need to be aware that this area is one of women's greatest needs and desires in marriage. Heart-to-heart, emotional investments in the relationship. And most guys, you know what we do? We underestimate the importance of this, and we struggle to give this to our wives because it is so opposite of how most men are wired. All right, let me give you a generality, which is, by the way, in this series, we're going to give lots of kind of stereotypes of men and women. We're going to put men and women in just kind of big stereotype categories. And it's for the purpose of helping us understand the opposite sex better. So I'm sure during this series, at some point, we will say something and you're going to go, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Well, that doesn't apply to my spouse. And don't walk out of here mad or questioning your gender, okay? It's just for the purpose of getting to know the opposite sex better. For example, let me give you an example of this. One that we've said around here before is when it comes to sex, here's kind of a generally speaking thing. When it comes to sex, women are crockpots and men are microwaves. All right? Women need to be turned on. They need to allow time to warm up, to slowly simmer. And guys are like microwaves. Bing, they're ready, okay? It's just, that's just the way it is. And then they're shortly done after, but that's a whole nother subject that we're not getting into, okay? Again, that's just generally speaking. Now, if you're a man here and you're like, well, that's not true in our relationship. I mean, my wife's a microwave. Then I think I speak on behalf of all the men here when I say we hate you, okay? So again, just to understand, we're going to give some generalities. But here's a generality when it comes to communication, okay? And maybe you just want to write this off to the side. This is something good to know. Men like headlines, women like details. Have you noticed that in your communication styles? Again, in general, men like headlines. Give me the bullet points. Give me the facts. Like, let's move on. Women like details. When my wife talks to her mother or her friends, which happens, both happen on a daily basis. And as a guy, I'm like, what do you have to say? You just talked to her this morning. It's lunchtime. But when they talk, their conversations go like this. Well, how are you? Good. I woke up today at this time. I kind of felt okay. But then I had this. And then here's what I ate for breakfast. And then the kids, I got them off to school and they did this. And I gotta go to work tonight. But before that, then I saw this and I thought about that. And then my friend told me about this. And then, oh yeah, here's what I ate for lunch. And then like, I'm listening to this and I am about to freak out. I'm like, what is the point? There is no point. And in studying for this, here's what I realized. The details are the point. And I can't comprehend that. Because when I talk to my dad, with whom I'm close to, and we talk like once a month, right? And we're close. When I talk to my dad, or when I run into one of my guy friends, because we don't call each other. All right, that's like breaking man law. If one of my friends calls me and they're like, hey, James, what's up? I don't know what, like, why are you calling me, dude? Like, just seeing what you ate for breakfast. I'm like, what? Like, that's like the end of friendship, okay? Because guys like headlines, ladies like details. Communication differences are huge struggles in most marriages, but we must make an effort to enter each other's world. Ladies, sometimes just let us give the headlines. Don't ask for more. You know, how was work today? Good. Let it ride. Just let it go, because that means it actually was. We're not hiding anything. It was, that's it. There's no more. It was good. Move on, okay? Guys, make an effort to enter your wife's world. Here's what that means. Sit through the details. Let her, and I know that you're going to want to interrupt her, and I know that you're going to want to, you know, maybe fix the problem and want to move on, but don't do it. Watch this.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Oh, that's awesome! Oh. Hey, everybody, look at this next verse on your outline. Look what it says. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. We can just stop right there. Exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. And if you're taking notes, underline this next little phrase. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Husbands, go all out for your wives. Do you remember how easy and natural this was when you first were dating? Right? You remember? I do. We would talk for hours. We would sit on the couch like that at her house or mine or out at some restaurant for dinner, and we would just talk. And you know what I would do? I would let her go through the details. And guess what I would do in return? Actually share details. And my words would evoke her beauty. And we would have these uninterrupted heart-to-heart conversations over dinners. And I would just make an effort for us to be together. I went all out for my wives. And then what happened? Again, like I said earlier, life happens. Stresses and jobs and responsibilities and kids. One of the other books I recommended on your outline, great book, talking about making marriage work by Dr. John Gottman. I love what he says. Look at this. This is awesome. He says, a child is a grenade. A child is a grenade that sets off seismic changes in marriage, often for the worse. Now, that doesn't mean children are bad. Some of you are like, oh, that's terrible, because you just had your baby like a week ago, all right? Give it 2 weeks and you'll be over it, all right? But here's the thing. Children cause a natural shift in a relationship from it being all about us to it being about them. And that's natural, and it's okay for a season, for a while. Well, how long should that season be? 6 months? Maybe kind of the first year? I mean, it's just going to happen. It's a seismic change in the relationship. But if a marriage is going to stay healthy, there has to be a shift where you welcome the them into the relationship, but there still has to be this time for us, for you and your spouse. So how do we overcome the grenades? Our kids. How do we keep time for conversations and heart to heart? Here's the best way to do this. Write these two words in those lines or in the margin somewhere. Date night. Date night, date night, date night. That's how you do it. Budget and schedule a weekly or monthly babysitter. There's no way in my wife and I's crazy schedule in life that we could manage a weekly date night. I mean, that's one of those things that sound good. We've never been able to do it. But we can do a month. You know, my wife's a labor and delivery nurse. When she works, I'm not. When I'm working, she's not. And kids stuff in between. It's crazy. But can we afford and can we schedule, you know, a once a month date night to have some heart-to-heart time? A better question that I should ask myself, you should ask yourself, can you afford not to do this? Some friends of mine who have been in a couples group with me before, they just had their first baby together 6 months ago. They experienced that seismic change. And I saw their Facebook post just this Friday night. Let me show it to you. Here's their Facebook post. This is Kristen and Cody. And here's what they said, if you can't read it. First date night after baby. Pure happiness, right? They're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We've not been outside for 6 months. You know, I mean, like they're just loving it. And I saw that and I was like, oh, that's awesome. They're practicing what we're talking about today. You got to have that face-to-face. You got to have that, you know, time together with one another. And then the longer I look at the picture, I notice something in the corner. Do you see it? I was like, that's hilarious. Do you see that? Let's get closer. It's Jesus. I have no idea what restaurant they went to, but obviously they should take that as a sign that Jesus is blessing them for this, right? Go back to the far picture. Look at that. That's just awesome. I was texting them today asking permission to use this picture. I was like, did you guys see what's over your shoulder? They're like, no. I'm like, go look now. It's awesome. So parents, take this as a sign. You have permission from Jesus, right? To like go on a date with your spouse. Real quick, let me give you a couple other practical ways that you can build heart-to-heart time, okay? And grow an intellectual energy. Here's another one. Read a book together and talk about the learnings. One of those books that are listed on the resource list. Another thing, here's another one that would be, join and be in a growth group together as a couple. During this Happily Even After series, we're launching growth groups, and all of our couples groups are doing a marriage study that goes along with what we're learning and what we're talking about in here. You would have a built-in, you know, kind of discussion time where you're going to hear from other couples at the level you want. You can share yourself, and I promise you that it will spark conversation even after that. And here's kind of the cherry on top is most of our couples have built-in childcare. You should go just for that, if nothing else, right? All right, so healthy marriages need hand-in-hand time, heart-to-heart time. Then here's the third one. Write this down. Skin on skin. This is talking about sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy is an important aspect of a healthy marriage relationship. It is a gift from God to be enjoyed in marriage and part of continually bonding and coming together in love as a couple. Look at our first verse again. This time, though, let's focus on that first word. She's writing about her husband, and she says, "He is my lover and my friend." How are you doing in your marriage? Don't answer out loud and no elbows. How are you doing in your marriage at the lover part? I mean, how is that going right now? You know, would you rate that as okay, really good, really bad, non-existent? Let me give you the secret formula, okay, for how can you, if it's not good, not great, non-existent, how do you get, you know, sexual intimacy back? Because just by the way, ladies, this is most guys, again, in general, most guys' greatest need and greatest desire in a marriage relationship is this. And I obviously say women want this too, but how do we get this sexual intimacy? How can that be healthy and life-giving and enjoyable in a marriage? How do we get there? Here's the secret formula. You have to put the first two things we've been talking about together. This is the secret formula. Relational intimacy plus intellectual intimacy will equal sexual intimacy. What happens in marriages all the time is these two become non-existent just because the stresses of life and the challenges of parenting and jobs and deployments and things, and all of a sudden we wonder why this went away. It's because really these went away. And so a choice that any of us can make who are in a marriage relationship now, or a decision that you can make if you're saying, "I'm not now, but I hope to be," is that we can start doing things about this one, these two right here, this week. And eventually it sets us on a path where the natural course is we get this. But what I think all of us who are in a marriage relationship want to be able to have. Now, did you know the Bible is actually very clear on the topic of sexuality? And it should not be something that Jesus people shy away from or feel uncomfortable with. Because did you know that there is an entire book of the Bible, the Song of Solomon, that is written all about a love relationship, and it is very sexually graphic? It is written by the third king of Israel, Solomon, and he writes it to his wife, who is called in Scripture the Shulamite woman. Now, that's obviously not a sexy name, but she had evidently way more than a great personality, okay? Because he goes into great detail describing her, you know, her beauty from head to toe. All right, look what he says here, and allow me some modern day translation for you, okay? Here's what he says. Look at Solomon chapter 4. "You are beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil." In other words, he's saying the fluttering of your big, beautiful eyelashes is driving me wild. That's what he's saying. "Your hair falls in waves like flocks of goats winding down the slopes of Gilead." I've not witnessed goats coming down a mountain, but apparently it's very sexy, okay? To guys in Montana. But again, that's another subject, which Scripture actually is very clear on that as well, not to be taken part of. Okay, anyway. He's saying, now actually, this proves to me, have you noticed, this is just a truth, okay, just a side note, had nothing to do with anything. Have you noticed that guys can turn anything sexual? If you've been married to a guy, you already know this, right? Guys can turn anything sexual. That's what this dude is doing. Like, you can call your husband stranded on the side of the road, and you're like, I need you to come meet me at such and such intersection because I need you to change a tire. And on the other end, you're going to get your husband going, I'll change your tire. How is changing tire, like, erotic? But man, we can think it is, right? You know, that's what this dude is doing. Like, goats coming down the mountain. Really? Anyway, your teeth are as white as sheep recently shorn and freshly washed. Apparently, she's a brusher. That's good. Your smile is flawless, each tooth matched with its twin. In other words, he's like, you got all of your teeth? Excellent. So we can know from this that she's not British or a hockey player, okay? We know that, all right? Moving on, your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. He's saying, let's play some tongue twister. That's what he's saying. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates behind your veil. Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled with the shields of 1,000 heroes. He's like, baby, you stand tall like a monument and you wear that jewelry well. That's what he's saying. Your breasts are like two fawns, twin fawns of a gazelle grazing among the lilies. He's talking about his wife like she's a petting zoo at this point. A heavy petting zoo, but a petting zoo nonetheless. Why am I reading this? Because I want you to know that God is not anti-sex. If you're a Christian, honoring God with your sexuality within marriage doesn't mean boring. If you're going to honor God in your sexuality, it doesn't mean lame. Now, I don't have time to read the next passage. You'll have to read that on your own. It's by far my favorite because it's very funny. Don't read it now. I see you cheating. But when you do read it, you will never look at a palm tree the same. That's all I'm saying, okay? Now, again, here's my point. Here's my point. Hang with me. My point is God is pro-sex. It's not gross, and it doesn't have to be boring. It's a gift from God to be enjoyed and expressed in the safety of a marriage relationship. But on the other hand, sex is not God. Sex cannot give you love. Sex cannot complete you. It cannot fully satisfy you. Sex does not add worth or value to you. And contrary to our sex-crazed culture, who tells us that our identity is somehow found in our sexuality, Scripture makes the opposite abundantly clear, that our identity and our value is found in our Creator God, who loves us and sees us all as irreplaceable masterpieces. And in the weeks to come, we're going to unpack that reality, that our identity is not in our sexuality, whether you're married or whether you're single, which, by the way, the Bible actually celebrates singleness as a preferred way to live. If you're single and you're here today, not everything in our Jesus community centers around married people with kids. Obviously, today we're talking about marriage, but in week 4, we're going to talk about embracing singleness, or if you want to date, how to do that well, and these realities that we're talking about. Now, I need to wrap this up, but as we close, here's what I know is true. I know there's some of you here today that your marriage is hanging on by a thread, and listening to this today has been very difficult, and even thinking about the chance of change is probably even more difficult. And there's others of you that your marriage, you're sticking it out and you're hanging in there, but there's been some recent hurt in the past, but you really do love each other and you're trying to get through it. There's others of you that are just in that crazy season with the age and the stage of kids or work or things, and it feels like everything in your life is trying to pull you apart as a couple. And I am in no way naive enough to think that this message today is going to fix all your relationship problems. But I do think that it can be a new beginning for you. You can choose to take some steps towards wholeness and health. And that's our goal for the next 5 weeks and the goal for this series. And maybe today is just going to be that first step. And I know it can be because I've seen it with couple after couple after couple. I have friends who their very first time ever to step foot in one of our churches was years ago during a relationship series just like this. And they showed up, and it was hanging by a thread, and I mean, the scissors were cutting that thread. They were actually living separately already at that point. And they showed up here, and that first week, it didn't fix everything for them. But all of a sudden, it gave them a little bit of glimmer of hope. Hope that there's a God who could help them change, that could give them the strength to do what they couldn't do and really couldn't find anyone else to help them do. A God who forgives us of our past and our relationship mistakes so that we can learn to forgive other people who have hurt us. A God who gives the grace and the wisdom on how to move forward and forge a new beginning. And so maybe today it's just that choice to go, let me take a step down a path and experience a new beginning. I'm going to ask everybody at all of our churches to grab that connection card out of your program. It looks like this. Go ahead and get that baby out. It might be a different color at the church that you're at, but go ahead and get that out and turn it over to the back side of it, and it says, this week I will. What's a step you can take down a path of new beginning? Is it being more intentional with, you know, kind of hand in hand and just going, all right, I'm gonna enter into their world and let's do this activity. Let's spend time together. Is it heart to heart and saying, you know what, let's have some intentional conversations? Maybe for you, it would be the skin on skin, and you actually have permission from the pastor to have sex this week. I mean, that might be, right? It's like, whoa, hey, I need to go back to that church. That's all right. Maybe for you, it's opening your heart to Christ. Let us know that, those boxes there. Also, we'd love to be praying for you. You can share an extended prayer request on the bottom of that card. In fact, let me pray for all of us right now. God, I thank you for your love and your grace that is extended to us. I thank you that your desire is to bring wholeness to our life and healing to the places that are hurt and broken. And I know relationships can cause a lot of hurt and a lot of brokenness, but God, I know that you can also bring a lot of healing. And so I pray today that every married couple here, every individual would take steps down a path of wholeness and healing, that we would choose to begin something new today. And God, give us the strength and the grace we need to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Running through the yard.
Look at me. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no, wait.